Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Baseball.
It is hour 2 of the program. We kind of went a couple different directions, wasn't expecting to go. We had a conversation about journalism, capital J and small J. And as it pertains to the Roquan Smith story, that was fun. It was a fun back and forth with some people on text who still don't understand what I was saying about the importance of media. You know, I've always noticed, and I'll just leave this here. I've always noticed that there are a lot of people who love Amendment 2 that don't seem to love Amendment 1. And I feel like you should love all 10 of those things.
Funny how that works, huh?
In the Bill of Rights. Like, I'm for your 2A, you be for my 1A. That's the way that it should go. The Score middle children are in effect right now. That's because Matt Spiegel is here. If he was joining me on the phone, I would tell you that he was joining me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, where you can find 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. But he is here with me in studio. Hello, Speegs.
Hey, Lawrence. Every time you refer to us as the middle children, first of all, I remember the brief heyday, the 3-month period or 2-month period, 7 weeks,
7 weeks,
7 weeks when we worked together, and it was a delight. But also I think of Jan Brady. So then I start wanting to go.
Sure, Jan.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. But instead maybe turn it into McNeil, 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 something of the like.
I don't think of us as the middle children in that regard.
Like we're tortured and we don't get enough attention.
I think of us as the middle children is that we are connected to old score and new score.
Yes.
That's the way that I think of it.
Of course.
That we know and like Tony Gill, but but we produce Dave Bond. Like, that's...
That's perfect. Like, we speak both Belmont Avenue restaurants.
Correct.
Right? And we can enjoy food trucks on the Lake Street Plaza.
Correct. Like, we're used to getting the rotisserie chicken from Jiggets and also understand Bernstein talking about Bockwinkles. Like, it's all of that stuff.
Like, right. I made a liquor run at Foremost for Boers one time, and yet I've sent people on liquor runs for me. Oh, wait, should I not have said that part out loud?
We have seen things in Studio C back at the old Belmont place.
Oh, man, the best is that we both know and like Tony Gill, but have produced Dave Bound.
That's true.
Should have stopped right there.
It's true. It's very true. Well, thank you for coming in. I know, man. That you had other things that you're willing to do, and I'm like, someone fetch me Spiegel and tell him that I would like to talk about the White Sox.
Well, I like the focused nature of being able to do it, because hit and run in all of September was largely Cub-based as we watched that collapse and talked about the impending reckoning and such. And meanwhile, some things were happening in September for the White Sox that are extremely relevant to the news that happened last night.
With Todd Steverson being
absolutely
let go.
Because in September, the White Sox were second in on-base percentage in all of baseball.
And you had two guys, right, that had the most hits in the month, right?
Yep.
Moncada had more hits than Anderson, I believe.
In September, they were sixth in runs scored in baseball. Over the course of the season, they were 24th in runs scored. They were 30th in the whole season in walks, which is almost impossible. 378 walks. They had 267 fewer walks than the Houston Astros. That they were dead last in walks and therefore very, very low in on-base percentage. But in September, they were second in on-base percentage. They were fourth in extra base hits. Why were things going so well in September? Part of the reason, just part of the reason, is the presence of Frank Menachino, the AAA hitting coach, who has 2 years of big league experience with the Marlins, and I think another few years as an assistant with the Marlins. And even though Steverson is a guy who got a lot of credit for working with Tim Anderson and working with Yoan Moncada, Menachino is a guy who a lot of the folks who've come up through the minors and through AAA have enjoyed. And there are reasons why that we can get into if we want. But I will be surprised if this is not Frank Menachino's job now to be the hitting coach. And because I've heard a lot of good things anecdotally, which is really what hitting coaches end up being about.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt Spiegel.
Yes, sir.
I have strong feelings about September numbers. Because you're playing against a lot of teams that don't care.
Absolutely.
So how do you judge September numbers? Do they factor in to how you're looking at a player's development?
For the most part, they do. And I'll tell you why. Because there is a need to still be mentally focused, on point, and show up every day.
And maybe even more so in September, when a team that's not going to the playoffs.
Absolutely. When your ballpark has oftentimes been fairly empty, and then in September it can be downright morgue-like, and you are still expected to show up and do your job in games of no consequence, you have guys like Abreu saying, next year starts now, next year starts now. You have Renteria going out and talking to Ronaldo Lopez with his arm in a sling and getting in his face, which I loved, and we can talk about Ronaldo. But just overall, you've got this bunch trying to manufacture some care in a month that is universally bereft of care. So maybe that makes some point for you in terms of what the opposition's doing. But I love that these guys continued to show up in a whole season that has challenged their focus, right? In 3 years that have challenged their focus, as winning on the big league level has not been prioritized by the big league front office. And now that's going to shift. But I like that they showed up. I think it matters that they showed up here at the end of a 3-year rebuild, at the end of a season where they didn't win as much as they wanted to. They showed up strong, and I think that matters.
Matt Spiegel is the host of Hit and Run here on The Score. He was nice enough to come and hang out and talk White Sox with me. What did you think of the season that Tim Anderson had, and is it sustainable to be a 360 on-base guy with 13 walks?
15, right? I think it's 15.
Is it up with 15?
It's 15 because that's the lowest number for a batting champion since, anybody? 1902.
Oh.
Napoleon Lajoie.
I heard you say Nap Lajoie, and I was like,
I love that name.
I'd always thought it was Nap LaJoie.
Me too.
And I was like, that's so great that he says it correctly.
I read it like LaJoie for the first 20 years of my life, and then I heard somebody say it Lajoie.
And then it made sense.
Spiegel went over here with that. I had no clue where you were going with that.
I was just, you represent the everybody in terms of my eye contact and putting my eye over there. If I'm not talking to Lawrence, I look your way, I'm talking to everybody. It's just the way it works, Tony. I learned it from Dave Baum. You'll figure it out.
He doesn't know who. It's fine. It's the chat champ. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
So, yeah, no, he's got to walk more. That would be nice. And that, I think, is probably tied to the Steverson move more than just September numbers. I started there just because I wanted to mention Menachino. But overall, this team walked so little. But here's the thing about Tim. Is that the massive adjustment that he made, and you've probably talked about it during the course of the year, is instead of sitting fastball and trying to adjust to curveball, he sat curveball and trusted that he was quick enough to adjust to fastball. It is a very simple and overpowering adjustment when you can stick to it. And when you are fast enough and when you're willing to go to the opposite field and just hit a fastball the opposite field, maybe every once in a while you get a fastball inside and you could turn on it, but go ahead and get your hits the other way with the fastball. Meanwhile, if you're sitting back and waiting curve, you can hit the crap out of those. And that little change in timing was everything for him because he's got great hand-eye coordination. He's got real good bat-to-ball skills, but that change in mindset and timing was everything. And I think what is sustainable is this kind of level of consistency from him, because look at his season. after last season. What happened last year with him in terms of all the mental stuff he had to go through?
He had his friend got murdered.
Yeah.
He was dealing with that. He was had a pregnant wife.
Yep.
With baby number two. Like, there's a lot of stuff that was, and he was being told all sorts of stuff on, hey, you might not be a part of this thing.
Yep.
If you don't start getting better.
And then what happened this year? He comes into camp with Manny Machado, Chase in full effect, and stands up strong to that and says, whatever, this is my job. He can find somewhere else to play if we get him, but we don't need him. All that, just the way he took that, no shrinkage whatsoever.
And then there's the April, where we're with the javelin toss of the bat, where that happens, and now he becomes a national, like, flashpoint.
Yes.
You know, where people are like, oh. And he then goes on, like, I kind of get why people don't like baseball.
Right? He has this, all of a sudden he's in the spotlight, which he doesn't shrink from at all, enjoys it, takes part in a whole bunch of media stuff, is unafraid to be himself and say what he thinks about the game on multiple levels. The Royals and others give him crap. He laughs it off. So no shrinkage again. Then he's in a batting title race down the stretch. He went on a 13-game hitting streak, hitting near 400 as the season wound down in a batting title race, which he didn't admit mattered to him as much as it did until the end of the year. After he goes 0-for-2 and Ricky pulls him in the fifth inning from his defensive position, gets a standing O, and then later they announce the batting title on the big screen. He comes out, takes a curtain call, and admits afterwards that it had been on his mind, that it feels like a big deal and a big accomplishment. Good for him. But so that's 2 years in a row now of multiple situations that could stunt someone's consistency, their emotional and mental consistency. And that dude is strong as hell. All the while with two kids, all the while being active in the community with youth guidance and BAM, the Becoming a Man program, and what he does. That is a star.
And Amateur City Elite.
Yep.
Like, he has been an incredible face for the White Sox as an organization.
He's the Clemente Award nominee in the same year that he breaks out and wins a batting title. I mean, that is face of the franchise type of stuff.
When I look at the 2019 season for the White Sox, Speaks, I look at guys that had incredible individual years. Tim Anderson wins a batting title.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu has the most RBIs. Aloy starts to hit a whole bunch of home runs. Moncada had...
crazy year.
Moncada had a top 20 player in the league.
That's your best player.
Year this year.
He's supposed to be as the star of that trade. He's supposed to be, and now he is.
James McCann goes to the All-Star game, has one of his best offensive seasons of his career.
Should have all added up to more, right?
That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Why didn't it add up to more?
Because of all the starting pitching injuries amongst the kids, they ran out of starting pitchers. They ran out of pitchers. So there's offensive stuff that we can look to and overall production we can point to and certain positions that didn't give you anything, and that's where you'll chase in terms of free agency offensively. But Manny Banuelos got starts, man. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ivan Nova was brutal for a long time and then was okay. Irvin Santana was trash. Renato Lopez was completely inconsistent. I'm glad they pitched him all year. He ended on a strong note.
And he made all the starts.
He made all the starts, and he's got work to do, but I think they know what the work is to do, and hopefully he does it.
I feel like I actually feel kind of comfortable if he's your five. Like, if he's your fifth starter, seeing some of the stuff in the second half, and you can see the stuff.
Yeah, he's got work to do on focus and mentality. That's his issue. And it has been documented in sort of different ways over the past couple years. Sometimes he loses focus. Sometimes he doesn't wait for the catcher to put the target down. Do you remember that? It was Wellington Castillo. It was like three different times in the same game, I think against the Royals. He didn't wait for Castillo to put up the target.
I'm going to tell you where the ball needs to be.
Calm down, young fella. So, I mean, it's hard, but he's got to work on that. I mean, maybe Lucas or Dylan can help him, guide him towards some brain mechanics or some meditation, and I'm not even kidding. You know, whatever works, find something that works. But, man, Dylan Covey got starts. They ran out of starting pitchers early and gave absolute jamokes time on that mound that they did not deserve. So to me, that's the biggest thing as to why it didn't all add up.
I enjoy listening to Hit and Run, where you would wax poetic about Lucas Giolito and where he came from to where he ended up, especially around the All-Star, where you're like, man, is Lucas Giolito going to start the All-Star game after being the worst pitcher in baseball?
Amazing.
For the fan that doesn't know the story, what happened to him?
What happened to him was that much ballyhooed, great pitcher in high school, first round draft pick, top prospect, everything, then really given a full on chance to do his work here last year, made every start and sucked. And the conversation that he had with his wife, where she said to him, you need to try different things. And he said, okay. I think I gotta try different things. And he told me directly this year on Inside the Clubhouse that was the start. That was the conversation. And after that, he then tried like five different things. And he changed his physical place on the rubber. He changed his mental approach about how he goes about it. And he did that braincanics thing, which is fascinating. He changed mechanics about his delivery. And some of this working with his old high school coach. So those are three or four things right there. And then he discovered that his sinking fastball, the two-seamer, was trash. And his four-seamer had great carry, what looks like the absence of drop. So that four-seam fastball that looks like it's rising. He threw 600 sinkers last year, that two-seam fastball, the sinking fastball. He threw zero this year. Zero.
Wow. Just abandoned
completely
the pitch.
And utterly abandoned a pitch that had been one of the hallmarks of his repertoire. Abandoned it and started throwing change up off that four seam fastball. I think that's the biggest one. I asked him the question, what was the most important thing, expecting him to go there? Because to me, you change your stuff like that completely, that to me would be the key. But he said mental was number one. Asked the conversation with his wife, try new things. And so he tried all these new things. But that four seamer and change up combo is what made him devilish. And that is the starting point. It's like a hitter going up there. You have to have a plan and then you can adjust off your plan. He has a plan. The first time, the first great start of the year, you can look it up. He threw 105 pitches. Four of them were not either fastball or changeup. So 101 of 105 were either fastball or changeup.
If you can locate your fastball and you have a good off-speed pitch, you can pitch forever.
They look exactly the same. They come out of the same
tunnel.
Right. So whether it's Doc Gooden or Sandy Koufax and you're throwing fastball changeup coming out of the same tunnel, or whether you are fastball slider out of the same tunnel, which is usually the norm these days for people. It's what the Astros try to do to everybody. He's fastball changeup. Doesn't matter. Something fast, something slow coming out of the same place. Kyle Hendricks, same thing, by the way. Two fastballs, two changeups. He throws his curve every once in a while, but gets stuff coming out of the same tunnel. So anyway, Giolito is a great lesson that if you have good stuff and a good arm, try things. Try different things. You know, keep adjusting. Keep an open mind and don't give up. And a lot of people gave up on him, and he proved everybody wrong.
Can you stick around for one more segment?
I'm here.
Because I want to talk to you about what's realistic in free agency for the White Sox.
Love it.
So we're going to talk more with Matt Spiegel. He hosts Inside the Clubhouse. He hosts Hit and Run. He's great. That's why we love talking baseball with him, especially when he's in studio. You're listening to The Score. I do remember. Shout out to DJ Cascade. Lawrence Holmes here with you until I see you getting your dance on, Speaks.
Oh, yeah, man.
Until 2 o'clock, Matt Spiegel, the host of Inside the Clubhouse, Hit and Run, is hanging out here with me as we talk about the White Sox.
Making me want to go to Gramophone on Clark and shop for some house. Is it still there?
Sure it is.
I think so, right?
I was at, God, what's the name of the place? I went to a record shop up in, like, right off of Logan, right outside of Logan Square, and it was so great. It's where I got the records for Joe. Because he's got the record player in the Flamingo Room in Madden's Post.
I know. I loved that. I mentioned that during the ball game when I was doing pre and post.
I appreciate that. Like, we had a good time. I had to give him songs in the Key of Life. Like, that has to be in your collection.
That's, yes.
It's just.
That is a must.
It's just musical Nirvana.
As. That's the tune.
I'm a big fan of As. It's probably my second favorite.
On that track? On that
Stevie
album?
Song, period.
Period.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Anyway, we could go down this
Stevie Wonder song draft.
Let's do it.
I'm sorry, is that not my bit anymore? Am I not allowed to have that bit anymore?
Sure, we can do a draft. I mean, we got the right people because Campy's a huge Stevie Wonder fan.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Can Tony play along?
I don't think. Do you know who Stevie Wonder is, Tony?
The songs were put out before the year started with a two.
He's going to choose Gangster's Paradise. No, it's Pastime Paradise.
The Happy Birthday song.
Okay, I mean, I'll take it. All right, now wait.
A music draft between Tony and Shep would be perfect.
Hold on. There's a follow-up question here. Who was the happy birthday song made for?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a very His good name question. Is in the song.
Happy birthday.
And it's not Happy Gilmore.
Happy birthday.
I'm going to go with...
Somebody important.
Real important.
Real important.
Martin Luther King.
Yes! Yes!
Woo! I don't know if MLK was a White Sox fan, but whatever. That's totally fine. Speaks, what is realistic, a realistic goal as far as players go for what the White Sox might be able to acquire in the offseason?
Yeah. Well, I think they need two starting pitchers. And I, just because you're going to count on Kopech at full strength from the get-go.
I would imagine innings limit too, right?
Yeah, you're going to be careful and do what you're supposed to do in year one of Tommy John return. And then Dane Dunning is a different timeline and some of the other guys. And, you know, you're definitely going to give Ronaldo a nice, comfortable 3-month shot again in the rotation. But I still think you need two. I don't think you're going to be able to afford Gerrit Cole. And then you also have to start thinking about, do they want you? This is the reality. This is the reality.
Speak on it.
Because you better figure out and not waste your time. Like, if Gerrit Cole is a dude who went to UCLA and now has been in Houston and wants, like, massive spotlight and wants Cali, just let him go. Go ahead. You know, stop. Does Dallas Keuchel want to be here? Do they want Dallas Keuchel? See, I think Keuchel's a great fit, but they had all offseason to chase him, and they didn't bother.
Maybe after seeing him in a season where he did not have a spring training, pitch, he's gonna start game one, right? Isn't he starting?
Yes.
So now you have a guy that's gonna start a playoff game for you. And what did he throw, like 120 115 innings this year?
Yeah, and it's Keuchel and Miles Michaelis today. And then, by the way, tomorrow in the postseason is glory. Tomorrow's four games.
Come on, let's go. Daytime playoff baseball,
four postseason
you
games
can't beat it.
Bring it to me, starting at 105 Central. But anyway, yes, I think Keuchel is a great fit. He may have fallen for Atlanta from what I've heard, and that would be understandable. And then you think about Keuchel's perspective. Okay, Houston was a fun place to pitch, and he withstood a lot of crap and then was part of a big win. He had all offseason. He waited and waited and goes to Atlanta, a very good young team. Does he want to come here? Does he believe that the White Sox are ready? Does he know about that atmosphere? Is he down with that atmosphere? And by that, I mean not a ton of people in the stands sometimes. Does he care about that? I don't know. So to me, I think Keuchel's a great fit as your sort of John Lester-esque kind of lefty whose stuff is going to age well. He stays healthy and makes his starts, and he has pitched in big, big games. So I would love to target Keuchel. If he's a no or not interested, then you start looking at others. Wade Miley do anything for you? Gio Gonzalez, again, do anything for you? That dude is still effective. He is still effective and shows up and eats innings. That is not an ace, I'm aware. Zach Wheeler is really intriguing to me. I keep coming back to Zach Wheeler and Jake Odorizzi. Mm-hmm. And Odorizzi, he might get the start in game one for Minnesota. I think they're still deciding between him or Jose Berríos for tomorrow.
If you're them and you're going to hit your 300 home runs, I feel like that's a place where Jake could go, oh, this is fun. Maybe we should stick around here.
He just had a breakout with that pitching coach. It's the best year of his career, so maybe he does want to stick around there. I don't know. But you could outbid, and then you're taking from within the division as well, which is a delightful sideline.
Well, they have
sideline.
To because they're 20 games behind the second-place team in the division. Oof. And then 23.5 behind the first-place team. So there's a lot of ground that has to be made up by the White Sox. So is it your supposition that the White Sox are probably still going to have to overpay for people that they want?
I think that is the case. I believe that is the case. Now, you have spent these 3 years on the massively cheap, so you are in a position to be able to do it. And at the very least, you can't get somebody at your terms when they've made their terms clear. Let's learn that from last season, shall we? Let's not... let's not get Jake Odorizzi's family members then offer him $50 million less than he's publicly said that he wants. Let's not do that.
Yeah, I that's the biggest lesson that I hope that they learn from the last offseason. And it's one of those things that kind of gets me a little bit fired up. If you want the player, then sign the player.
At his price.
Let's not play games.
Yep.
Let's not talk about deferred money.
Uh-huh.
Let's not talk about any sort of at-bat or pitching appearance kicker that then will allow that's not possible in today's baseball, that then will allow them to make those extra dollars. If you want them, go get them.
And you have made yourself an attractive nest for some people. They should look at you as an attractive nest in a big city, but you still have to probably overpay to convince somebody to come here as opposed to a flashier franchise. So go ahead and do it. Zach Wheeler's really interesting. Zach Wheeler has swing and miss stuff. Zach Wheeler has very high-end strikeout stuff and has surprisingly little mileage on his arm for a guy of his age and his prospect stature, but that's because he's been injured. He's been injured a bunch. It feels like Nate Eovaldi to me in last offseason, who has had great stuff and had shown it finally and been consistent, and then Eovaldi got hurt again for the Red Sox after they paid him a lot of money. So if they're afraid of Zach Wheeler, I get it. But Odorizzi I find really intriguing. And then, you know, there's other guys out there, but I think you need two starting pitchers.
How excited are you, and how excited should White Sox fans be about Luis Robert?
Crazy excited. Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal, I think, are both going to be here. First homestand is when they can still play the service game successfully. And since you've done it this far, you might as well complete the job. So they'll get them both here by the first homestand, if not, unless they sign one or two before to one of those Eloy-type deals so they can break camp with him. But incredibly excited, because you will see a beautiful defensive center fielder. He's going to make Eloy better in left field, just by being there and Eloy having to do less.
You don't need to go to the gap, because this guy's going to get there.
Correct. And they need to learn to play together. And you're going to see the kind of pure five-tool young athlete prospect who can actually make contact, who you have dreamed of. When Kenny drafted Jarrett Mitchell, he was dreaming that he could actually show up and be this guy. When Yasiel Puig showed up for the Dodgers, and everybody was like, I think he's Bo Jackson. Remember that?
Yes.
I was like, I'm pretty sure he's Bo Jackson. I mean, you're going to get...
Isn't Puig a free agent too?
He is a free agent. I don't hate that for right field.
I'd be interested.
Well, because right field's the other one where you really need to add a bat, and you might have to sacrifice some defense to do it, because there's not a lot of great defensive right fielders who are also the kind of hitters that you need. I don't know. I don't think you want to go down the Adam Eaton one more time. Unless you get Todd Frazier too, bring them both back.
Just have a nice explosive clubhouse.
Yeah,
we good, fam.
Hey, how old is Drake LaRoche now? Now he's probably old enough to be on the team.
Hey, if the Cubs can't afford your guy Nick Castellanos, if the Cubs cannot afford him,
man,
you make a hard charge and you say, we are 9 miles south. And you love this town, and this town loves you.
And your manager's gone.
Uh-huh. Let's continue this relationship, shall we? Let's continue this relationship with you and this town in baseball that matters, in a division that you know. You make a hard run at Nick Castellanos for right field. And I don't care that his defense is metrically brutal. We just watched it since the deadline. You can live with that defense in right field.
100%.
So,
and he adds something to your clubhouse that you probably need.
Absolutely. It adds something to your clubhouse, adds something to the diversification of your lineup. Absolutely. I know people are dreaming of J.D. Martinez if he opts out, but he's got to be opting out of 3 years and I think $62.5 million. So he's going to want $500,000 at his age.
Minimum.
Do you want to do that? I don't think you want to do that. I don't think you're going to want to give him. And I think he's not going to opt out, because that's risky for him at his age, even with his production, to opt out.
Well, considering some of the opt outs that we've seen that have backfired for guys.
Yes.
You have to really understand what the market is, or else you could end up like Mike Moustakas and be like, what?
And then you go back to Milwaukee for a year. Oh, by the way, Mike Moustakas is out there, but you don't really have a place to play him.
No. Well,
second base, you're going to give that to Madrigal. What, are you going to move Moncada?
I've got some thoughts about Madrigal that are not, like, okay. Every time I see a highlight of Nick Madrigal, it's him hitting a single off of home plate. And I'm like, let's Let's pump the brakes on a slappy hitter guy. Let's just, I get it, but I'm not sold is what I'm saying.
Let me give you one trade candidate as an outfielder, just because the Orioles are stupid as hell. I think they still might be the sucker at the table. And
still?
I think it's still them. You know why? Because the owner's a bone, I almost said something worse, bonehead.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So they still might be the sucker. As Trey Mancini enters his arbitration years, and I know he is a defensive liability in right field, but that dude can hit. That's a 900 OPS guy, a lefty bat at 30-some homers, and I love him as a personality and as a guy. I think he would be awesome, and I think the Orioles still might be the sucker.
All right, Speaks, you, sir, are a fantastic baseball guest, and I'm glad that you had time to come and hang out with me.
It was a pleasure, and I'm sorry that Coop wants to stay.
Oh, okay, Weasel. Now you can go and enjoy the rest of your offseason. Unless I have. Woo! Don't stop believing.
I never have.
I know that you have. You have a lot of faith.
In everything.
And that's a very, very good thing. That is Matt Spiegel. He's great. I'm glad that he could hang out with me. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Hoops. Northwestern basketball is back at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Back after this on The Score. That was a fun time of talking White Sox baseball. Some good stuff and analysis from Matt Spiegel, for sure. This segment is being brought to you by Amazon. Holiday hiring at Amazon starts now. Earn up to $16 an hour. No resume, no previous experience is required. Choose from a variety of shifts. Find your opportunity at Amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer. Our guy Chris Emma has been sick, right? He's been under the weather. So he had been doing these daily Bears updates, and then he got really sick. But he's back now. He is back.
A lot of bits is back.
A lot of bits is his nickname with a dollar sign at the end. He files this report as the Bears head to London.
London's calling for the Bears, who take off later today. But there's one more practice to come in Lake Forest. The Bears take the practice field this afternoon before heading to the airport. With them in work yesterday was linebacker Roquan Smith, who discussed missing last Sunday's game.
Yeah, like Coach said, it was a personal reason, and that's behind us now. So just focused on getting better this week and moving on to Oakland. It was just a personal issue, so moving forward past the situation, actually. So just addressing it because, you know, I have to, and I guess it already happened.
Smith said he intends to play Sunday against the Raiders. However, Matt Nagy wouldn't say for certain whether Smith will play. Quarterback Mitchell Trubisky is unlikely to play Sunday, but the Bears' hope is for Trubisky to return after the bye. That goal targets October 20th against the Saints. Trubisky, Akeem Hicks, and Taylor Gabriel were all held out of practice Wednesday. Kyle Long returned to work but was a limited participant. The Bears are required to reveal later today which players are not traveling to London. For continued coverage of the Bears, follow me on Twitter at CM670 and log on to 670thescore.com.
All right, Emma, I see you. Powering through.
Pushing through that, man.
He's powering through. I appreciate him doing that. We need to take a time out. When we come back, we will talk McNeil and Parkin to get you ready for their afternoon show. Well, I'll talk with Church at 3 o'clock here on The Score. A big thank you to Matt Spiegel, who came and hung out here and talked White Sox baseball with me. Thanks to Mark Grody, who joined us from London. Thanks for the fun journalism conversation that we had earlier as it pertains to Roquan Smith. A fun show, and tomorrow is no different. Tomorrow we are going to have a good time. Our buddy JJ Stankovic is going to join me from London. We'll talk with him, and Blackhawks season starts tomorrow. The Madhouse Enforcer podcast is going to hang out with me tomorrow.
Let's do that hockey.
And we're going to do that hockey tomorrow.
Very cool.
Right before the game.
Yeah,
they play
you'll be
at 1
building
o'clock.
A 1:30. Yeah, 1:30 yes. Puck drop in Prague. Yeah, Hawks and Flyers.
So Jay Zawoski and James Nouveau are going to come and talk pucks
all right.
with me.
It Puck doesn't feel... Afternoon. I'm not ready for winter sports. I'm not ready for it. I know I'm wearing a hoodie today, but man, it's like summer just went away in 8 hours.
Look, yeah, that's what happened. It was like 85 degrees at 10 o'clock, and then you woke up and it was raining in 60 degrees.
And now we're playing hockey and basketball? For that those, sucks,
yeah,
man.
But for those of us who've paid attention to 6 months of the Cubs, it is a most welcomed backdrop change for me. I love the NFL. That's always going to be number one in my heart, as I know it is with you.
Yeah.
But it's something different. It's a side dish to be served up. If you're not all that interested
I'm not
in
saying I'm
major,
not,
major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not ready for basketball or hockey. I'm not ready for winter sports.
Oh, I see.
Like, just, it's just the, right. the cold, man. I thought we'd get a little bit more time.
It's not that bad yet.
Looking for some fall golf.
I thought I saw...
better hurry.
It's my man John Hansen on the Jam. Said that there's a warming trend at the end of next week. So you're going to get your opportunities for fall golf. You got your chances for fall ball.
I'm going to be in Canada next week, and I talked to a buddy the other day up there. After we do the show Bears-Raiders Monday, I'm taking off Tuesday morning to squeeze in 4 last days of fishing, and my buddy up there says, you're coming in for a warm front, and I was a little bit disappointed, and it occurred, I better check the forecast for where I'm going in Ontario, and it's relative. It's warm there next week for those who live there. The high temperature is going to be 55 degrees, and
yeah,
it's
going to
be overnight lows in the 30s, which is what I was hoping for. This is the fall brawl. This is where you are supposed to get layered down and get the big girls, you know, out there in the weeds with a big plastic Danny that weighs a pound and a half. That's when it gets exciting. Man versus the elements.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I am happy for you.
I'm doing a similar thing, although it's not that. It's going to be man versus elements, but with me, it's going to be trail running and maybe a little bit of rock climbing out in the desert over that same period of time. Bears bye week, time to get away.
Yeah, it's not a bad opportunity. Absolutely.
Good for you guys. I use most of my vacation in the summer, and I was like, all right, I guess I have time between Christmas and New Year's. That's about when I'll have time now the rest of the year. So I'm here for the duration.
You don't have to wait that long if you don't want to. Take a few days by all means.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
But Danny, it could be great next week. Like, it could be the Bears are coming off of some sort of craziness that happens in London,
man.
And then you've got the airwaves all to yourself.
Well, I've been thinking about that craziness, too, and what I want to see is the Bears get an opportunity to play against Mike Glennon. Don't want anything bad to happen to Derek Carr. I mean, just seriously bad, but if he gets a little bit of a hamstring tweak, that's okay, right?
It would be fun to see this defense against Mike Glennon. That would be fun.
If Mike Glennon, who knows what this defense can do, pulls a raid guy who in 1984, when the Bears knocked out the first two Raiders quarterbacks, the third quarterback was Hall of Fame punter Ray Guy. He went and hid behind the Raiders bench. That's a great Bears Raiders story that I wish Doug Buffone were here to reflect on for you, Lawrence. Knowing how much you love
not
Uncle Fuzzy's
going
Bears.
Out there with them.
He hid. He went and hid.
That's incredible.
Mark Wilson and David Hum were the first two Raiders quarterbacks, and Marcus Allen wound up throwing a few passes in that game. Yeah,
I mean, you got to do what you got to do to get out of the game. I mean, we were looking at that last week with the Bears, where you could have had Trey Burton enter the game as your emergency quarterback.
I don't think
one
they
report was Cohen, right?
But, but Nagy said
what Tracy Wolfson
Burton.
Said.
Yeah, because
she
asked
a lot to the broadcast, doesn't she?
Well, she asked Cohen. And that's what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
But Nagy said it was Trey Burton and then said, don't believe Tariq when he tells you that he's the emergency quarterback.
Okay.
I also think they would run a lot of Wildcat and it wouldn't be one person. Cordarrelle Patterson would get snaps.
Sure,
Tariq would get snaps. And then Trey Burton would be there if you had to throw
David
the ball.
David Montgomery would get snaps.
You know, I am most okay with Cordarrelle Patterson taking snaps from Wildcat. I heard our pal Connor McKnight earlier this week, and I don't want to take him out of context, but I'm pretty sure he said he has seen enough of that, and it might have been situational. But I like that, especially this week. Because do you really trust the quarterback to do anything with the ball in his hands other than get it knocked out of his hands? Because Chase Daniel strikes me as very potentially very fumbly.
I I've been saying that it hasn't happened yet, but the two interception fumble game is coming.
Oh, he fumbled four times against the Giants last year.
But now that everyone's got their Chase Daniel thing, like the game, you're gonna be like, oh yeah, that's why he's only made five starts.
The
in his
more
NFL
you see,
career.
The less you like. I'm Boomer Esiason on Chase Daniel.
I have no problem with Cordarrelle Patterson taking carries because anything that they can do to run the ball is nice.
Exactly.
Just so no Mike Davis.
Can he throw it too?
Yeah, I don't know.
But have we seen him do that? I don't know if he did it with the Patriots, maybe.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown a pass since he's been a Bear, but it's only been four games. But I'm good with Mike Davis being done. Like he's just the backup emergency guy. But every carry doesn't need to go to David Montgomery. He hasn't earned that. Like it's okay.
Right.
It's okay for Tariq Cohen to get carries and Patterson to get carries and jet sweeps to Gabriel. Like that is still okay. It doesn't have to be 100% of the attempts to David Montgomery.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. You want to diversify your looks, and they offer different things in the way of being runners. I do think the bulk of the carries should go to Montgomery.
Of course.
But absolutely, just give the ball around a little bit to guys.
I think we're going to see Cohn and Montgomery on the field together this weekend. I think that we're going to start seeing some...
In the backfield?
Yeah, or even not, but both of them on the field together, one of them coming in motion, the ability for Chase Daniel to do that, because what I think this offense will lack without Mitch is the RPOs. No one is going to even think it's possible for Chase Daniel to keep the ball.
I don't think that's in his best interest to do that.
Well, he's not a statue. He can move. It's just not it's not what ideally what you want to see him do. I think that they'll still have a lot of elements in it just because.
Right.
I don't think they're going to just completely take it out, and I expect that he'll keep, because he did it last week. I expect that he'll keep at least one of them for a short game.
But Mitch hasn't been running. And Chase clearly isn't the athlete that Mitch is. So if I'm defending against the Bears, okay, so if Chase Daniel keeps one and gets 8 yards, like he's not Lamar Jackson. He's, you know what I mean? There's no the ceiling for what he can get running the ball
is so low. He's not going to kill you with his feet.
Never.
But that being said, he might still be able to move chains with him. And that eventually does break back.
Romo said last week, right? Romo said, stop keeping it, like throw it away or whatever, because you can't afford to get him hurt.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so I'll be surprised.
I'd like to find out, not that this means everything to the position, but just because, you know, we're talking about him running with the ball, we were mentioning athletes yesterday and who are the best athletes. What kind of an athlete? How strong is Chase Daniel? I don't, other than just, you know, first blush reactions to watching him play here, he doesn't strike me as a guy who physically is very strong, and that's a problem when you're playing quarterback in the NFL
and you're running with the ball.
Yes, that's what I don't see a guy who physically might be well suited to be running with the football in his hands. I think he's going to get it knocked out consistently.
A couple carries on some RPO keepers is probably okay, but if you're asking him to win the game with his feet, that's a mistake.
Yeah, we got a good one to lift the lid on week five tonight.
Rams
and Seahawks tonight in Seattle. Ooh. Yeah.
Well, see, and then this goes back to what Danny's talking about. So I got this game to watch. I got college football to watch. There's playoff baseball to watch tonight, too. And now you're going to say, here come the Hawks and the Bulls are right behind them?
Yeah, it's all happening, isn't it? God. Plenty of diversions. That's
I'm
good.
Fine.
That's
just good. Delay it for a little
Lots
bit, man.
Lots of entrees.
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. We're doubling up with you. We have Matt Spiegel in studio every week. So he is in today, I think, 4 o'clock?
We probably won't do it to, I think 4
are,
o'clock.
Are you guys going to primarily talk White Sox?
No,
probably
we're going to talk about something from the South, though. Not the South side. I saw a Tributosaurus do Leonard Skinnerd last night at Martyrs, and man, I was moved for 3 hours. I had calf cramps in the middle of the night from how much foot stomping I did last night on the north side.
So wait, what did your phone tell you how many steps you took?
I didn't program a phone to take. I know I took at least 3 steps. Give me 3 steps. Give me 3. Yeah, it
no,
was.
No, but I mean, like,
your phone does it automatically,
iPhone, right?
Old man.
I don't pay attention to that.
just open it up real quick.
He does not. It's not an iPhone.
It doesn't interest me.
Oh, I thought it was. Because I was curious how much dancing you did last night.
I'm sure it counts as steps.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, if it does, that's great. But I'm fitting comfortably in my XL Ball State baseball sweatshirt today, so I must have been taking a few steps this summer.
It's Cardinals, right? They're not like Stanford. They actually have an S on the end of it.
The plural Cardinals.
Yes, yes. They're more of a... I once wrote a column in the paper there. This didn't go over well with a football team, that they should change the nickname to the Squirrels because of... How they played in the money revenue sports, the big winners money wise.
Oh! Yeah. Somewhere right now, David Haw is going to turn his car around and come
now
back.
Now that he gets the free gear,
speaks with you
from Dan Plesac. Right. Now you tell him how you really feel.
I almost got my ass kicked. That would have been ugly.
Are you and Whitlock going at it?
No, he wasn't there when I was there. I think
he's
a
little
younger. Yeah, he was after.
He was on the team with David, right?
I think they were teammates.
Yep. Yep. They overlapped.
Brad Maynard punting often in the bowl game they played.
I wonder where Brad Maynard is. Tony, find Brad Maynard for next week. I don't know if we have any punting questions to ask him, but I've always found him to be entertaining.
For when you're on vacation?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
With the food?
Don't find him for next week. Find him for the week after that. Although I will be here Monday. I'll be here for Bears Monday.
You guys are doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
Here for the reaction show and then getting out of Dodge.
Yeah, and then going away for a long time.
Good for you.
Well, men, enjoy yourselves. Have fun with Charch at 3 o'clock. That'll be fun because he's a crazy person. Yes,
and a Vikings fan.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bears broke the Vikings.
Which Viking is apologizing today?
None. Stephon Diggs was like, hey, what about those rumors? He's like, there's always some truth in rumors.
I want to explore that today. I want to explore the idea that there is truth in all rumors and see if we can poke any holes in that theory, because that is an all-time great quote for denying a trade request.
Well, I think there are plenty of people that are getting on a plane right now that would – hate to hear the segment of there's truth in all rumors, considering some of the rumors that have been flying around over the last 4 days.
I'm just saying it's an interesting way to dispute a trade request.
Oh, yeah. Totally true.
I'm a team player.
There's definitely some truth in that rumor that I would like to be traded.
Oh, thank you, Stephon. That is a hell of a quote. But Lawrence, have a good day.
Be good, Lawrence.
We'll do our thing.
Man. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.